Welcome to a new episode of the Career Vision Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Piff. And before we get into our new episode here, just want to thank Career Vision for sponsoring us all year. If you don't know, Career Vision helps young people and others that are looking to change careers or start their career journey with aptitude tests. You can find them in Glen Ellen, Illinois, and check out everything they do at careervision.org. And I'm just going to get into it right now. I'm very excited about this month's guest, Mr. David Hochberg, host of Home Sweet Home Chicago on WGN Radio. And hey, David, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, bud.
We start every episode. I know you've listened to a couple of these.
Yep.
We were talking about the Dave Ennett episode. So I'm great that you're, I really appreciate that you're following that one up. So to kick things off, where did you give, you got to give a shout out to your high school.
Maine East High School, class of 1984, Park Ridge, Illinois.
And what were you like in high school?
I was very energetic. I was extremely involved. I played freshman sports, wasn't really good at it.
Which sports were you playing?
I played football. I was a center nose guard. Mike Bolio was the, I was on the B team.
Okay.
Mike Bolio, whose brother Guy Bolio, little Bolio.
The Bolios.
Father was the an equipment manager of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay.
And Mike was the starting center nose guard on the freshman A team.
I gotcha.
And Mike Bolio was a very large boy, and got a four-year ride to Missouri, I believe, and his brother went to Wisconsin. So the Bolios had football in their blood, and my football playing days after freshman B ball at 0-8. We were undefeated. Undefeated in the win column.
Defeated.
We sucked. We were 0-8. I'm just like, okay, that's enough because I'm not going to replace Mike Bolio. He's a stud. And turned out he got a 4-year ride to Missouri. And I played a little freshman baseball. Wasn't really good on it. It was catcher.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I was made to hold down positions. Wasn't really built for speed or built for power, but to block things. So that's why center, nose guard, and catcher.
Hey, shout out to being a center because, I mean, I think that's why we get along so well,
yeah.
Fellow centers.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the position in football that touches the ball every play.
Every play. And catcher as well, right?
Exactly.
You're leading, you're calling the game, if you will.
Not the sexiest positions, but
no.
Arguably the most important.
Absolutely.
But, so sports doesn't necessarily work out. Where do you put your interests and your talents after that?
In high school, was involved with just supporting the team. Ernie Scarpelli and I, a fellow Maine East Blue Demon, we started what was called the Yell Leaders.
Yell Leaders.
Yeah, we painted our face and I think 7 or 10 of us idiots got together and painted our face, went around to basketball games and we just started cheering the basketball team because we had a pretty good basketball team. And for some reason, I had it in me to go out in the middle of a timeout and spell demons with body letters.
There we go.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You spelled it right?
Yeah. Well, that's my 18 on my ACT. So we had a spell check before we went out there, Webster Dictionary in our back pockets. But yeah, I did like the body letters with the big D, the E, the M, O, and S. And I did the S with the curved body out at center court for
home
games.
They needed you at DePaul games back then.
I called the Cubs. I swear to God, true story. It's a true story.
I need to hear this.
I called the Cubs. I was a high school senior. What do I got to lose, right? From the payphone at Maine East High School, across the street, across the hall from the cafeteria. I'm like, hey, I've got this great idea. This 16-year-old hotshot putz pimple face knucklehead in high school. Yeah, I spelled my body. I spelled demons out with my body letters. How about I do it during a Cubs game? I could do the C-U-B. The B would be a little challenging, but I got the S down. They're like, yeah, thanks for the call, young man. Hard no. Or I think it might have been, we'll take it under advisement and we'll call you.
He said very nicely.
Very nicely. And don't stick by your phone and wait for a call from us.
You had a lot of confidence back then to do something like that, though.
Yeah, I was a stupid kid in high school, right? Just And then in high school, we also sold my brother's idea. We sold M&M's, Starbursts, Rolos. We made a couple $1,000.
Whoa, what were those going for?
50 cents. So we would compete with the student council. We would go to the, it was before Costco. There was a merchant, it was some club on McCormick Avenue in Skokie, a warehouse club. And we, my brother, I give full credit to my brother, Steven. He's like, hey, we're going to go buy candy, buy it for a quarter, sell it for 50 cents, and we just keystone it. And then we started having our friends sell it for us at 10 cents. We gave them 10 cents a bar. So all they would do is carry around a see-through bag, and we were making hundreds of dollars a week. It was unbelievable. And then the student government got upset because they were selling M&Ms and, you know, peanut M&Ms and regular M&Ms. They were upset because we were taking their market share.
Love this version of turf wars.
It's great. I got called down into the dean's office. Of course, they called me down. I was a senior.
Yeah.
My brother's, I think, was a sophomore. He called me down. And by that time, Dean Shulgin had enough of me. And he's like, do you have a permit to sell candy? I'm like, no, I don't have a permit. I'm like, I didn't know I needed a permit. He's like, well, where's all the money going? I go, to send David Hochberg to college fund. He didn't like that idea. Well, that was true. Well,
yeah, but what's wrong with that?
He didn't like it because we were taken away from the student council.
Did the student council have a permit for theirs?
No, but they kind of had the monopoly on it. So I learned we got our candy confiscated. And one of the greatest lines of all time from Dean Shulgin, may you rest in peace, I'm sure he passed away by now, is that he's like, well, what if I set up a hot dog stand in the rotunda and started selling hot dogs, right? He thought he had it. Got your moment. I said, well, Dean, to be honest with you, if I was hungry and the hot dogs were priced right.
Sounds like a great idea.
I'm like, genius. I'm like, I'd probably buy a hot dog or two. I'm like, I think you got something there. He didn't like that. My brother comes down. He's white-faced because they called him down second. He's like, we're going to get thrown out of school. I'm like, when I get thrown out of school, just relax. Just tell him it's for the David Hochberg College Fund. And they confiscated our candy, and it was a good run. So the candy business, we got out of the candy business.
What did you have an idea of what you wanted to do for your career in high school?
It was always sales. I mean, it was always sales and something sales. I used to get the hide selling chocolate turtles when I was a Cub Scout, right? The chocolate covered turtles. And it was always sales related, something. Interacting with people. I was never a building guy, right? I still can't build anything. Engineering, not my thing, but talking to people, and I knew it would be some type of sales in the future, and just fell into. I graduated college with a marketing, a business degree with an emphasis in marketing at Northern Illinois University in 1988. Got a job in the scrap iron and metal industry right out of college, $28,000 a year, living at home in a company car. So in 1988, that was pretty good. Other than the pharmaceutical sales, which was like $30,000 a company car, but you had to move to like Minnesota. That was the best opportunity for me out there. I got a job offer, Wallace Paper at the time. The office supply company. Which I thought was great because the training program was great, but we all see what happened to office supplies. So I'm glad I went into the scrap iron and metal industry, and 12 years there through a consolidation, I saw a bunch of my friends making a lot of money in the mortgage industry. And I'm like, I'm a better salesperson. I felt that I was a better salesperson than they were, and called the guy that I grew up with around the corner who was crushing it in the industry. He's like, yeah, you'd be great. And resigned from the scrap iron and metal industry and went into the mortgages 25 years ago.
So what did you have to learn before getting going in the mortgage industry? What were some of the things you had to...
Well, I'll tell you what I learned in the scrap industry. The scrap industry, it was a lot of our listeners probably have no idea what the scrap industry is. We supplied raw materials to both foundries and steel mills to make new products, right? So I was in and out of the steel mills in Gary and East Chicago and all the mini mills and all the foundries in the Midwest and put on 50, 60,000 miles on my car. I'd leave Monday, come back Friday, and, you know, it was a monthly sales cycle. So the foundries and the steel mills would buy their their MELT obligation for the upcoming month. So yeah, like the month of, at the beginning of November, they buy for November and lay down an extra 10, 15, 20% going into the winter in case they have weather. So there's a bunch of inventory there. So you learn real quick on a monthly sales cycle how to sell and how not to sell and mm-hmm. what to do and what not to do. And that's where I learned, you know, it's not about the rate, it's about the monthly payment. That came to me from Randy Jones, melt shop superintendent at Acme Steel in Riverdale. He brought me on the melt shop deck, and he looked at me. And they had an open hearth furnace there, one of the oldest ones around. And he looked at me, and we were standing, I don't know, 30 feet away from the furnace, which is pretty intense. He goes, son, he was a good old boy from Kentucky.
Yes.
Son, I don't give a shit what it costs coming up on what it costs going in on the top of the furnace. I only give a crap about what's coming out the bottom of the furnace. So that his cost of ton produced, right? So the mix of scrap, the raw materials that went into making steel, applies to the mortgage industry. Mm-hmm. You could have a 2% rate, but $60,000 worth of credit card debt that's costing you $2,500 a month. Or we could have one big fat loan at 6% or in the sixes or the seven, and you're saving $1,500 a month. Yeah, you're leaving your sexy 2, 3, or 4% loan, but you're saving, you and your family, more mm-hmm. importantly, are saving over $500 to $2,000 or $3,000 a month. So it's not about what it costs going to the top of the furnace. It costs what's coming out when they tap the furnace. It's not about the rate. It's about what it costs you and your family on a monthly basis. And that's been my angle to everything that I've sold that Randy Jones taught me, melt shop superintendent at Acme Steel in the 1990s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first clients when you got into the mortgage industry?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
How did that come together?
They were firefighters.
Really?
Yeah, because I was in a fraternity at Northern Illinois University, uh-huh. Pi Kappa Alpha Fraternity for Men. And I looked around and tried to figure out where can I get the most amount of people in a single place to try to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
And I would drive by firehouses all the time. So I went to firehouses in my area and I just said, hey, if I do a loan for one shift, mm-hmm. I'll make a stake for all the shifts.
Okay.
So I would go, and that back then the rates were low and the rates were coming down. I just got lucky at the right time. So I'd go around all the firehouses, and one of the first firehouses was in off of Dempster in Niles.
Okay.
And I'm still doing their loan. He was an assistant fire chief. Yeah.
Really?
His name's slipping my – he's since retired, and he's in the manufacturing. I cannot think of his name. But him and his wife, I've done their kids' loans, right? You know, their kids, when they started, were like babies. They were 2, 3 years old. And now they're 20-some, 28, 26 years old, buying their houses, and I'm doing their loans now. So I would go in, and I'd be like, hey, if I do a shift for, you know, gold, black and yellow or whatever, you know, red, you know, the three shifts, they're on for 24, they're off for 48. Learned all about firefighting.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, it was, you know, when the bell goes off, the clock starts, when the truck leaves the threshold of it, they get recorded for time. Then from the threshold to the fire site, the site, you hit another button, they're timed, and then on time, on site time, they're timed, and then wrapping up all their hoses and getting back to the firehouse. You know, I learned all about that. I just built relationships with all these firefighters because they're all sleeping together in the same yeah. house for 24 hours. They're all around each other. So you do a solid for one, mm-hmm. it gets through the house. That came out wrong. Not all firefighters are sleeping together. I edit that
oh,
out.
We got that.
I know
we got
you did.
That.
I didn't mean that fire. you know, but they're all hanging out, watching
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
They're exercises. Some firehouses have steam rooms. Some firehouses have racquetball courts, gyms. So
they're
all
practically family.
It's all family.
Yeah.
So like I'd go in and do it for the red squad. Okay, mm-hmm. then I call the chief on, you know, the captain on the next squad. Hey, I did a loan for Tom Smith. I want to come in and cook your steak. So I'd go to Jewel. I'd get skirt steaks. I'd go out on the grill because they all have grills. I'd cook up the steaks.
Yeah.
They'd make all the veggies and the potatoes and all that stuff. And I'd just sit there and build relationships with all these firefighters that I would have zero access to if I didn't come up with this great idea. So I started doing all these firefighter loans. And then I did a DJ's loan, and, you know, the rest is history, and then I got on the radio.
Who's the DJ?
Scott McKay, Mo Driver.
Okay.
So at WCKG, mm-hmm. I built a relationship with a couple of realtors, and I get this call out of the blue, right? Sitting at my desk. Hey, we're in the back seat of a limo. With Mo. Whoops, I'm sorry. I thought I turned
that
off.
He's important. I totally understand.
I thought I turned that off. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
So they're like, hey, we're in the back seat of a limo going to a Kevin Matthews live remote. So it was Kevin Matthews and Mo Driver. Mm-hmm. Mo Driver was a sidekick. And I'm like, there's no way you're in the back seat because these two guys. I'm like, there's no way. So they're like, yeah, okay, we're in the back seat. We're going to a live remote. We go to all these every single Friday. We go to one. We became friends with Scott, and we're going out, and we're going to sell him a home. You're going to get him a mortgage.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, first of all, there's no way you two knuckleheads are in the back seat of a limo driving to Joliet from Chicago to go to a live remote with Kevin Matthews' sidekick, Mo Driver, because I was a huge Kev head fan. So I knew what Mo Driver sounded like, what Scotty sounded like. So I'm like, let me talk to Scott. Let me talk to him. So they put him on, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm like, it's Mo Driver. I'm like, that's Scott McKay. So long story short, we got him a home. Him and his wife at the time, Brooke, bought a home in Evanston. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're never going to get me a loan. I'm like, challenge accepted. I get you a loan, you get me on the radio. He's like, all right, never thinking I'd be able to get him a loan. So I got him a loan. We were at CKG at the time over at the Prudential Plaza.
Yeah.
That was 25. It was August. It was 1998, 99. So got him a loan and showed up at his house on a Saturday. Okay. He moved in on a Friday, showed up on a Saturday, two bags of groceries, toilet paper, milk. You know, he had a kid at the time, cereal, eggs, all the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. With two $100 gift cards at Margiano's at Old Orchard. I'm like, here's dinner for tonight, you know, for the family. Let me take a tour of the house. Great. Everything's good. Slapping backs, kissing babies, giving hugs. When do you have me on the radio, right? He's like, all right, deal's a deal. Come this day next week. So I'm like, all right. So by that time, Kevin had left to go to, they split, CKG split. Scott mm-hmm. was on after Steve Dahl, late nights, and they moved Pete McMurray down to afternoons to take Kevin's place. Gotcha. So that's the lineup. Kevin and Maura Miles were middays, and then it went to Steve Dahl, and then it went to Mo Driver. So he's like, all right, kid, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bring you, I'm going to start the show at 7. He's like, I got 3 hours. He was 7 to 10 at night. I'm going to bring out 7:15. If you're good, we keep going. If you suck, I paid you back, and you're done.
Right.
I'm like, deal. So back then, I had my BlackBerry, my blue BlackBerry that everybody had,
yes.
Right? And the cell reception downtown in office buildings in 2000 was horrific, right? Mm-hmm. It was horrible. So you couldn't get any cell reception. So I go on. We start talking like this, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, phones start lighting up. And they had 8 to 10 lines. And I could see the call screen, right? Because I had a call board in front of me, and he starts taking calls. And I just started answering.
Was that the plan going into it?
No.
Interesting.
I was just, he's like, I'm like, put me on the radio, right?
Yeah.
And that was the only time I had been on the radio, right? Never been on the radio.
Had you done any college radio? Nothing?
Nothing. I was a business major, marketing. I did nothing.
But you had this interest to do radio.
Well, I figured Kevin Matthews, sidekick, if he gets me on the radio, I got a shot to see where this goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went, right? So we're there, 7:15. He brings me on, start talking about his loan, how we did it. Phone started lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back then, 2001, 2002, that was the subprime boom, right? So
yeah.
9 out of 10 calls, I could most likely get you a loan.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there were a lot of different products out there than there are now. So started calling in. Yeah, I'm self-employed. What do I do? Here's what you do. You do this. I didn't give out my phone number at all. I was just answering, you know, listeners' questions like I do now. Just boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, my son wants to buy a home. Okay, you could do a gift of equity, no problem. Well, my mom just passed away. What do I do? I want to take over the house. No problem. You just got to get a do this, that, and the other thing. 45 minutes later, right?
Mm-hmm.
He kept me out for 45 minutes, which, as you know, in radio, doesn't happen.
That's a lot.
It doesn't happen. Okay, it's usually you're on for a segment. If you're good, they can hold you over for another segment. And if you're, you hardly get 3 segments in a row.
Right.
So we went from 7:15 to 8 o'clock. Okay, phone lines, all 10 lines were lit up. And he's like, why don't you give your phone number out? So I'm like, is that all right? And I was naive, right? I said that on there. He said, yeah, go ahead. So I gave out my phone number. And back then, again, you couldn't get reception in a downtown building because the antennas weren't as strong and the phones weren't as strong at the time. get down the Prudential Plaza. If anybody's been to the Prudential Plaza, it's like a bomb shelter down there. You got to go yes. six layers deep. And you come in on Upper Wacker and you wind up on Lower Wacker. And I exited the building and I got cell reception, uh-huh. right? Because I was outside the concrete bunker, if you will. And my phone blew up. Oh, Emma's. I had over 20 voicemails.
Wow. Okay,
from that 45 minutes. And I gave out my phone number once at the end. I never advertised on the radio before.
Uh-huh.
And I heard all these other guys advertising, you know, all the other mortgage companies, which I thought their ads were great, right? Mm-hmm. So, long story short, I'm hammering my phone. I'm writing it down. I'm calling them back on the way home. Started getting loans, and I'm just like, well, if this is working, it's like Jeb with the Beverly Hillbillies, right?
Yeah.
You're shooting at a squirrel, and up comes oil, and I just started advertising and writing commercials. Jimmy Mack, who's here now, Wendy Snyder's husband.
Yeah, Jim McNerney.
He was the guy that recorded my first commercial.
Oh, my goodness.
I had never written a commercial before. He threw me out of a studio. He was so upset because I wasn't prepared. I never wrote. And,
previous guest on the show, actually.
Great guy.
Oh, my goodness.
He did my first commercial. So my sales rep at the time helped me write a commercial. Mm-hmm. And then after I saw the template, I just started writing my own commercials, and I write all my own commercials. It's all true stories. And
I wanted to ask about that. You and I have talked about this for a long time, but I grew up listening to Boers and Bernstein
sure.
on 670, and your commercials would come up at 5 o'clock. I think
drive
it was
time.
Drive yeah. time. And
first break.
Cause I knew I had this, like, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And you had Terry Boers do the read.
Yep.
And
Bernstein did the read.
Oh,
Boers
yeah.
would do the,
he would do the sound.
Sound.
Yeah. He would do the sound effects. And, but it was every time it was a different story.
Yeah.
And I needed, I had always wanted to ask, cause I guess I never thought to do so. Those are real stories.
Also, all real stories. I changed the names.
Yeah.
But the stories of Tom and Sally could be Bob and Mary, right? But the three kids, the value of the home, the situation, got injured, somebody lost their job, somebody got divorced, somebody died,
yeah.
somebody's going to college, somebody took on debt. All of that's true. So the body of the commercial, I just changed the names.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, what I learned was it was the autistic voyeurism, right? Mm-hmm. That the listener wanted to hear the story because they wanted to hear the ending.
Right.
And what I learned was you can't always have a success at the end. You always have to have Bob call me. He had all this, and he went to another lender, and the other lender dropped the ball, and then he came back to me at the end. And by that time, you know, Bob lost the house. Bob should have called me first. Okay, so not every story ended with a happy ending, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there, that's life. Okay.
Well, that's right. The listener is relating to these
100%.
Things too. You're going to hit these people who've had those experiences.
Yeah, and I just fell into that model of advertising because I'm like, well, what am I going to come up with? I'm like, well, I'm doing 50 loans a month. I should just pull the, you know, the example. Can I tell you the first time I met Boers and Bernstein?
Please do.
So, excuse me. So I'm on WCKG uh-huh. and at the time it was a CBS radio station. So they had a cluster, and some of the cluster was XRT, the Score, and the country music station.
US 99.
So I was crushing it on CKG. Mm-hmm. I had got it up to like $500,000, from nothing to $500,000, $40,000 a month in investment on Steve Dahl. I'd met through Wendy Snyder. I met Steve Dahl. I met Gary Meyer. So I had the whole thing covered. Okay, and plus I worked my way into the ingrainment of the station. Well, CBS saw that it worked on CKG, and they mm-hmm. wanted me to invest in other things. So Danny Richmond, who is a general sales manager at the time at the Score,
yeah.
is a general sales manager across the street at LS, said, hey, and I went to high school with Danny,
mm-hmm.
said, hey, I think Boers and Bernstein would be good for you. I go, great, set it up. I want to meet him. They're like, okay. So I wrote a couple of commercials. They did it. It was kind of bland. It was kind of, you know, they didn't know me. I never met them. So I'm like, set up a meeting. So we all went over there. There were 10 of us inside of Mitch Rosen's office,
yeah.
which is like a 8x12 office. So we're all shoehorned in there. Okay. And Dan Bernstein's there. Terry Boers there. Mitch Rosen, the station manager, there. And I just said, guys, listen, I listen to you all the time. You guys bust balls all the time. You are smart Alex, and you're just, that's what I need.
They fit you.
They fit me. Yeah. I go, you talk sports on the station 23 hours a day, 59 minutes, 23 hours and 59 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a 60-second commercial. You have full creative liberty of the spot. I go, just make sure you get the content out.
Yeah.
And the disclaimer out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have full creative liberty to do whatever you want.
Did they light up at that opportunity?
Terry Bors.
Yeah.
Slammed his hands on the table. That's all I need to know, young man. I swear to God. Stood up, shook my hand, left. Okay.
Oh, man.
Dan Bernstein. We sat there for an additional 15, 20 minutes. He started asking me about mortgage-backed securities and everything else. And we just built a relationship. It's about relationships,
yeah.
Right? So I got their cell phone numbers. And I'm like, listen, this guy was a jerk. Put a little extra mustard on this, right? Because I would mm-hmm. listen. And then I'd be like, okay, have fun with this. Here's the backstory. And they'll be like, oh, you're going to love this one. And what happened was it built into a genuine friendship on and off the air.
That's cool.
To where I did the sound guy, Campy.
Yeah, Rick Camp.
Yeah. It's not Rick, but it was another guy. I'm sorry. It's slipping my mind right now. But I did the producers, and he would put together sound leading into my spot.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the guy's name. Gosh darn it.
I swear that's his name.
Rick Camp. No, I did his loan. I could see his wife. He has got a baby daughter.
He does the podcast with Jay Zawoski. Right?
No, it was a different guy.
Oh,
Rick
Chris
Camp
Tannehill?
Does. Tannehill.
Chris Tannehill. Rick Camp and Chris Tannehill getting a shout out on this podcast is perfect.
Nice job, boys.
Yes, thank you.
But great guys, but it was Tanny. So Tanny would put together these intros into my spot with just different sound effects. And then Terry came in when they said my name, when Dan said my name, he would do something with his voice and sound
it sounded like an involuntary like noise.
Right.
That, yeah.
It was like a Viking horn out of his mouth. Okay. So and these guys would just crack up and it would be destination radio to go to hear a funny story.
Yes.
Right. So long story short, I did both of Terry's son's loan. I did his son-in-law's loan and his daughter's loan. So I became family with these guys. And I did everybody at the station's loans. And then the people at the stations have a tendency, for those that don't know radio is like the hollers of West Virginia. And I've worked mm-hmm. in West Virginia, so I know what I speak of. But everybody's related to each other. And you leave one station, you go to another station. And then doors started opening because talent went to other stations, on-air talent. Mm-hmm. And then production went to other stations. So I had the back end to support me at other stations. And then the salespeople went to other stations. So I had intros in other stations that had worked with me at CKG or The Score or WGN. I mean, that's how I got to WGN because I did my sales rep's loan, Johnny Green.
Okay.
And then Gary Meyer came here. And I knew Gary from CKG, and then we just went to lunch, and Gary and I kicked it off, and I started doing stuff with Gary Meyer and worked my way in here.
So a thing that I'm noticing through this is, one, the generations of people that you work with within families. You are a part of their families, again. Two, you are constantly putting on – you are – putting on a good impression for a lot of people, and you're treating people very well. That's kind of part of the Chicago radio business too.
Sure.
Is that you are, you know, that's how you get recommended, right? And that's something you're learning along the way. So how does Home Sweet Home Chicago get started?
Oh yeah, no, that's a great question. So Home Sweet Home Chicago got started at WCKG.
Yeah.
It was a Townstone Financial show because that was a company I started with my old partner. And I saw a guy by the name of Joe Aldiger, heard him on the radio, and I just didn't like the way he did business. And I called him out on the radio, right? I called into the radio show that he was on, accusing him of taking advantage of people, and he would pick up the phone off the air. He'd never put me on air. He didn't have the guts to put me on air. And then he'd be like, he'd hear me talking like this. And I'm like, Joe, you know you're screwing these people. Yeah. He's like, rah, 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 you know, he'd talk in circles. And I knew what he was doing because I'm in the business. I know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then he would go on air and he'd make fun of me. Oh, David Hochberg called me. And rah, 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 rah. Yeah. So I'm like, all right. So I go to my show and I'm like, hey, Joe, why don't you come on? There's an open seat right here. You know, just like I did with Ryan Kelly down in St. Louis, the home loan expert is no longer in business.
Right.
And, you know, that advertised in Chicago. I'm like, why don't you come up here and talk about what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And let's expose what you're doing. Because the Chicago audience knows one thing. They know when you're pulling a rug out from under them.
Yes.
They know authenticity.
Yes.
And if you are out there not doing the right thing on a continual basis, repeatedly, you're not going to be on the radio for 25 years like I've been on the radio for 23 years that I've been on the radio. Because mm-hmm. you would have been called out. And, you know, the attorney general would have, you know, knocked on your door and the FBI would have knocked down your door.
Yeah.
You just do the right thing for people.
Right.
Right. And some of the times when listeners call, the best thing for them is not to do a loan, but to go to Kane County Teachers Credit Union. Right. And take out a home equity line of credit. Some things are, well, this person wants to do this. I'm like, well, that person is absolutely, you know, taking advantage of you. And I hope they're buying you dinner and giving you cab fare and buying you flowers and chocolates for what they're doing, because you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
So we turn down more business because it's not in the best interest of that borrower or that listener borrower to do anything or to do what they're thinking of doing. And we point them in another direction where we don't make any money on it. Right. It's kind of like I use the analogy. I'd rather you call me. And it's, consider what I do as having an auto garage. How many people know how to fix cars? Not too many people, right? And congratulations if you do. But I'd rather you come to me for the free oil change and tire rotation so I could check your car out to make sure that you only need an oil change and a tire rotation instead of a new front end when you just need to get your tire rotated. You know, your tires rotated. So that's how we built our business. That's how we built the brand on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, CKG changed formats.
Yeah.
So going back to how it started, I saw these guys, you know, Joe Aldiger was on the radio and he made my stomach turn. And he's, you know, and if he wants to come on Homestrom Chicago to talk about it Saturdays, you're more than welcome, Joe. And I called my rep, Joe Campisi. I'm like, all right, if he could do it, I want to do it. I want to try it. So I bought an hour at the time and it went from, I bought 12, about 10 weeks. Right. I'm like, they're like, the only time we have open Sunday, Sunday morning. I'm like, I'm not competing with the Bears. It was October.
Yeah.
Okay. It was Lovie Smith's first year.
Okay.
Started 0-4. I'm like, all right, the Bears suck. I'll buy 10 weeks. So I bought 10 weeks from whatever. The first week was the Chicago Marathon because we almost couldn't get in the building because all the roads blocked off. So that was a whole nother story. So that was like one of my first shows. So long story short, we did 10 weeks. And I'd have three pages of single space typed out notes ready to go. And by the fourth, fifth week, the phone started ringing. And by the 10th week, I'm like, this is great. You know, I'd have one page and I'd have guests, right? Mm-hmm. I'd have a commercial realtor. I had a credit because it was 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, this is great. Signed a contract for the next year, bounced it to 2 hours on a Sunday. And then, you know, they were looking for their Saturday programming was horrific on CKG at the time. They had some guy, car guy from Texas to sell used cars. It was a horrific show.
Oof.
It was terrible. So I'm like, hey, why don't you move me to Saturday? I'll anchor your Saturday morning. So I was there. I got it up to 3 hours on a Saturday. Okay. CKG at the time changed formats to Fresh FM. Okay.
Remember that? I remember that. Yeah.
Right. Completely, you know, they went from male demographic 25 to 54 to female soft rock, right? Mm-hmm. It changed genre, changed demographics, and that completely collapsed going up against the mix and
93.9. Well, and Light FM.
And Light FM, 93.9, right? There was already a market for that. So they're like, let's go up against, you know, Light FM, which collapsed, and then they changed it to another format. So I had to move to AM 560.
Okay. Right, WIND.
WIND.
Yes.
It was still the Townstone Financial Show at the time. Mm-hmm. I was there for 8 years.
8 years
at AM560 because nobody else wanted it. So, So I built a nice, great following at AM560, built relationships with everybody there, still have my sales rep, general manager. I'm doing his loan now, and the general manager is my neighbor, is now the regional sales manager there, the VP or whatever, Jeff Reisman, did his loan. We're still friends. We had dinner with him and his wife a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
So, you know, all of this stuff just built upon, I built an audience there, mm-hmm. and then I had an opportunity to move it to WLS.
Yeah.
So I went from a 5,000-watt station to a 50,000-watt station. I went from Saturday afternoons 1 to 3 mm-hmm. to Saturday mornings 10 to noon. Much better spot.
Yes.
Bigger stick, 5,000 watts.
Right.
Helped change the name from Townstone Financial Show to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
So what went into that?
I didn't have to pay for it anymore.
Got it.
So I went from buying the time and brokering it out to hosting the show. And having the WLS sales team at the time mm-hmm. sell the show.
Yeah.
Which is a lot easier for me running after money and doing that because I didn't want to open up the opportunity now to bring in a bank mm-hmm. because there was a conflict with a bank paying a mortgage broker to be on a radio show. So there was a whole compliance and that's out of the mix now. So we were able to get a bank. Bigger station, bigger signal, bigger reach, get bigger partners.
Yeah.
PermaSeal signed on. Mega Pro signed on. So all of a sudden, Mr. Floor signed on. So all of these experts that are still on my show, Dave Schluter signed on.
Right, they've all come with you over here.
They all came over.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky. And then the WLS sales team went out and brought in a ton of experts. And then I had the opportunity 6 years ago mm-hmm. to move the show here because that was always my goal. I'm like, Lou Manfredini is the Babe Ruth of Saturday morning radio. He's the best at what he does. There's nobody better. And he's the nicest guy on the radio. And I'm just like, okay, what am I missing here? Lou hammers down control 6 to 10. Mm-hmm. Why don't you slide a real estate show, our show that have built up for 15 years in the marketplace? It's a compliment to Lou.
Right.
Right.
You're so, Lou Gehrig here.
Right. I'm right behind Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Right. So Babe Ruth's up there. Uh-huh. And I'm like, slide it in. You'd control the entire real estate segment for 6 hours, 5 hours on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That only took about 18 years to get done. And then after 18 years at the buyout, when the Trib sold to Nexstar, mm-hmm. okay, I work with John Gallagher, Brad Ferre, my sales rep. John Gallagher was a sales rep. Mary Boyle, okay, who I did Mary's loan.
Oh, cool.
She used to, I met Mary 10, 15 years ago when she was Steve Dahl's producer.
Right.
And then she was Cochran's producer, and then she takes over everything at GN. So I had a relationship with Mary and her husband, Pat Boyle.
Yes.
Okay, did their loan up
Very
north.
Very good guy, Pat
great,
Boyle.
Great guy, right? Yes. So, I mean, again, it's relationships.
Yeah.
So I go to, so Mary's like, yeah, let's try it. And we started out at 2 hours here. Everybody came over from GN. I mean, you know, from WLS over here. And then with the WGN sales team and the relationships you had here, we were able to bring on Dykstra. We were able to bring on Lindemann. We were able to bring on Lindholm.
Right.
I mean, so we had all of these huge names that came with, and then they went out and supplemented a lot of areas that we didn't have on the show. And now we have like 25 experts on the show. We have Ray Kaplan, right? We got Ray Kaplan from John Williams' show. And we just laid them in, and they're fantastic. And it works because we come on every Saturday after Lou. And the great thing about Lou is Lou knows everything about everything because he owns hardware stores.
Right.
Right? And he sold everything that he's talking about, and he's got the directory there of all the Ace Hardwares throughout the United States. Oh, go to Elm and Fifth and tell Tom I said hello and tell him you want this product because he sells the product.
Yeah.
And everybody trusts Lou. So I'm just like, listen, the difference between our show and Lou's show is – number one, Lou's show is a lot better, okay, because he's been doing it a lot longer, and he's Lou Manfredini, for God's sake. He knows everything about home improvements because he's lived this. He built homes. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about home improvements, right, because I can't fix anything. But I've got 25 experts that own their own company that are local.
Right.
That come on.
Local, that's important.
That's right it. There. Yeah. Local, family-owned businesses. Trusted family-owned businesses.
Yeah.
You're not just coming on the show because you want to be on the show. We vet you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's local family owned businesses, and the family owned businesses answer. I'm just there as a blackjack dealer. right? I'm just
you're playing quarterback or point guard.
That's
in this
it.
One.
Yeah. I'm just that's a better analogy.
Yeah,
I'm just passing the ball.
Yeah,
right. You know, call comes in. If somebody calls in about a will or a trust and Schluter, our attorney's not on. I text Dave. Hey, can you call in? Boom. If we get a call for flooring and Igor's not in, hey, call in. Boom. If we get a call for divorce and our divorce attorneys aren't on, I send them a text during the show. Hey, I got this. I take a snapshot of the text. I send it to them. I'm like, hey, can you call in? We have a list. Or call this listener. Here's their number. That just texted in an answer. So we're just a help show. We're just an extension of what Lou does.
And that's so cool that you treat your listener like a client, like someone you're just giving advice
family.
To, but like family. Again, that's like, it feels like a Fast and the Furious movie where I'm just saying family over and over, but it's
that's
true.
What it is.
But you are, that is 7 hours, you and Lou, for homeowners specifically, which is fantastic.
Or it's not only for homeowners, it's for prospective homeowners.
Prospective, yes.
And the parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents of prospective homeowners. Because what I found was the 18 to 30 year olds are not listening to WGN unless they're in their car with their parents and they have it on the radio. Okay. Because when I was that age, I didn't want to listen to WGN either. I wanted B96 or I wanted something else. Or now they're listening to whatever they're listening to on their earbuds in off their phone.
Right.
Okay. But when they go to buy a home, some of them are going online because they think they know everything about everything.
Right.
And mom and dad and grandma and granddad and aunt and uncle are going, what are you doing? Call David. Or what are you doing? Call Lindholm. What are you doing? Call Andreas or call Mr. Floor or call one of the 25X. You need windows, call next door and window, right? You need a stair lift, call Access, right? So all of these miracle method, if you need grab bars and stuff like that, you want to recoat instead of, replace and save a ton of money and redo cabinets. You want to sell your house, Sarah Leonard. So you just go down the list. You need a bankruptcy, you call Stephen A. Leahy. You got Ray Kaplan. So we've got all of these. Rose Pest Solution. We got Janelle coming in. Stephen A. Leahy, if you got IRS tax challenges, right? Redo Cabinets is coming in. So, I mean, all of these aspects of a home, right? Kane County Teachers Credit Union. You want a home equity line of credit? There you go. You want to refinance your car loan? There you go. You want a credit card because you don't have any credit? We could build. They've got credit builder programs. So I tell our experts, do not come on the radio and sell anything. You're coming on the radio helping people. That's it.
Perfect.
That's it.
That's the mission.
That's what we do every Saturday when we come in, either between 10 and 1 if we're not because of Northwestern sports or after Northwestern sports. We come in and we help people. And that's the goal. You've seen the numbers.
Yes, I have.
Okay. I mean, the best way to indicate our success is to look at the online numbers. Now, when we started here, I think we were at 12, and now we're like close to 30,000 online listeners.
Yes,
every single weekly, and that number's it's doubled every single year because we're not selling anything. And I tell everybody, don't sell anything. Just explain how you helped a listener overcome a challenge in the previous week that you were on. So like we've got Rose Pest, we've got Stephen A. Leahy, and Redo Cabinets coming on.
Yeah.
And an email went out, what topics do you want? And remember, talk about how you helped listeners this week overcome a particular challenge. Because why? Goes back to my commercials.
Yeah.
It's autistic voyeurism. Ready? Right? Audio voyeurism.
Yes.
Where you are helping people that are listening. Mm-hmm. With a challenge they're having, or they know of somebody, one of their friends, I always say this, friends, family, coworkers, or neighbors, who are having a similar challenge, right?
Yeah.
Your basement might not have flooded, but the gal across the office didn't come in because her basement flooded.
Right.
You need to call Blue Sky Restoration, right?
Yes.
You need to call PermaSeal to get your basement sealed up, right? You need new flooring. You need to call Mr. Floor. You need to redo your basement. You now need to call MegaPros. Mm-hmm. So you've got all of these things, or your roof got blown off because of a storm. You need to call Lindholm Roofing, or your chimney got impacted because a storm knocked off your chimney. You need to call Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling. So again, we've got all of these different aspects of experts that are just there to help.
And going back to that streaming number, those are people that aren't just, they're not just in their cars, mm-hmm. you know, they're not in the middle of a thing. They are making a point to tune in that way.
They're seeking out the show.
From wherever they are, from whatever they're doing, that's a good way to put that. We've taken up a ton of your time, and I really appreciate you doing this, but we like to wrap up the shows with advice for someone who wants to do what you do. And there's a couple things here that if you don't mind kind of doing it from two different perspectives
sure.
here. So advice for someone who wants to go into the mortgage business, and then advice for someone who wants to go into the radio business like you have. So that's a kind of a two-parter.
Sure.
But yeah.
Okay. If you want to go in the mortgage industry, which is a great industry, and the reason it's a great industry is because not too many people are getting into it, and the age of your typical mortgage loan officer is in its late 40s, early 50s, mm-hmm. because the drop-off due to the increase in rates the past 30 months after COVID, it knocked out, I think it was like 75% of the wow. licensed loan officers. Yeah, you couldn't. What, you know, when you go from twos and threes and fours to seven mm-hmm. and eights within 6 months, and then stay at the seven and eights for 2.5 years, your typical loan officer doesn't have the wherewithal to survive. We've lost 75% of the licensed loan officers. They either retired or are back in the mall spinning pretzels and folding underpants right. because they just can't make it. Okay, so it's a great time to get in. Find somebody that has a training program and that you're patient, right?
Any recommendations there?
Yeah, you know, call me if you like. I'll walk you through it. Mm-hmm. My best recommendation is you go to a big bank that has got a training program.
Yeah.
Learn from them. Get the foundation down, get the fundamentals, and then when you want to go to the dark side and not work within a homogeneous white room atmosphere where you really can't be yourself because right. you have all this corporate taboo and bells and whistles you got to guide by. You know, like how I'm on the radio, I'm on the phone, mm-hmm. right? And my wife can't believe how I talk to people because I'm just talking to them as a friend.
Well, right? I get to hear it
when
you come in every week and your office is right next to my desk. And yep. I hear it all the time.
Right.
And it's, yeah, what you hear is what you get.
Yeah. I mean, you don't hear. I mean, yeah, it's just I talk to them like we're sitting at a bar having yeah. a Diet Coke and a pizza. Right.
And I always wonder who you're talking to because I can't tell if it's just a friend you've got.
No,
or
those are my borrowers.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I just break it down and talk to them, you know, the way that I would want to be talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not this, hi, Mr. Smith and Mrs. Smith. I'm here at ABC Bank and we have the greatest products. And right.
But, right.
That's not me. Right. So go to a bank or go to a larger mortgage company that you could get the fundamentals in, put the reps in, mm-hmm. get 18 months, 2 years under your belt. And when you want to go to really spread your wings and go out and go hunting on your own instead of having stuff drop in your lap, come to me and we'll see if you're a fit. All right.
Yeah.
So that's how I would do that. And then the other one was how to
getting into to be a radio host. Like,
yeah, well, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It took me 15, 16 years to get to WGN. I had to buy my time originally. A lot of luck comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of luck. Listen, if these guys weren't in the back seat of a limo with Mo Driver going
yeah.
to a live remote for Kevin Matthews and Joliet that day, that opened the door.
You had to establish that relationship, though,
yeah.
in order to get that call, though.
It all comes down to relationships.
Yeah.
It all comes down to you treat everybody like you want to be treated, right? I don't give a crap if you're making $4 an hour to $4 million a year. Everybody gets talked to the same way, with the same respect, the same follow-up. Nobody, you're not, you know, all because you're trying to get an $85,000 loan or an $850,000 loan. You get the same customer service. You get the same advice. You get the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You get the same quality information.
Yeah.
You get the same quality customer service. So on that aspect, how do you get started? Build the relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to play triple A ball before you go to double A ball, before you go to single A ball, before you get on the rookie team, before you hit the majors. Unfortunately, everybody wants to be born on third base
right.
and think they hit a triple. It took me 16, 17 years paying a lot of money, investing a lot of money on CKG for mm-hmm. 2-3 years, 8 years on AM 560. So over 11, 12 years investing in my show
mm-hmm.
before I turned it over to LS and now GN to where they're going out and generating revenue. And the reason it works is because the more, as long as the ratings are good, right? If our show sucked.
That's the other thing, too.
Right.
It has to be a good show.
Yeah. If our show stunk, Mary's not having us on for 3 hours. Right. I started at 2 hours, and she saw the value of the show, and she knew me, and she helped our show out tremendously by giving us another hour, I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that helped out a lot because we had more time to spread the information out. And, you know, growing the audience, number one, and the audience going to the experts on the show and using their services, that helps out too because they're getting the benefit of their time being invested and their resources being investment as an advertiser. So it's not like you're going to take a course and you're going to be on WGN. It takes a lot of time. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I learned so much by listening to the radio every single day, mm-hmm. right? I learned from Steve Dahl how to get in and out of breaks. I learned from Gary Meyer how to prepare for shows because he was the most prepared. I learned from Mancow by being spontaneous. I learned from Wendy Snyder. I learned from John Williams. I mean, I could go down, Mo Driver, all of the Dan and Amy at AM 560. Boris and Bernstein.
Yeah.
All the guys that I've had the opportunity to be, Pete McMurray and Maura Miles.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, just to be in studio with those guys and watch them hone their craft and watch them do what they do, and it's close your mouth, open your eyes, open your ears, and absorb it. Mm-hmm. And I still use the techniques that those guys use. I watch Bob when I come in with Bob, Lisa Dent, right? You know, all the pros. You know, John Hansen's fantastic too.
Oh yeah.
You know, the guy wears 15 different hats. You know, John Records Landecker, I was on with him a couple of times. Steve Dale, I was on his show. All these guys. Dean Richards. I got called on the carpet because one of my sponsors brought in a big pot of paella, and I left it for people to eat thinking they'd clean it up, and they didn't clean it up. And then Dean came in, and it was a big 36-inch pan of paella rotting, and you know, my phone started blowing up. Dean's ripping you, so I called in. I'm like, "What's going on?" Dean had me on, and you know, I learned from Dean. I listen to Dean every Sunday.
Yeah,
right. Rick Hogan,
yeah,
the best.
I love his voice so much.
Go to lunch with Rick. It's an encyclopedia. It'll be the best 4-hour lunch you've ever had, and you just learn and you absorb, and then you take it and then you put it into your own type of style,
mm-hmm.
and you put it back out and see what works.
Constantly being a student.
And once you know, you think you learned everything, you realize how much you don't learn. I mean, how much you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, keep your mouth shut, keep your ears and eyes open, observe, learn, and then use your own personality. Okay, because my personality is different than everybody's personality here.
Yeah.
You know that. Okay, I'm kind of like A+ on the wild side. And everybody's got their own style, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Shut up, listen, and learn is what I learned in college, okay, and in high school. Shut up, listen, and learn. And if your mouth's going, your ears are, you can't function. And just absorb and continue to hone your craft. And, you know, maybe 20-some years later, after you broke enough rocks, you could get to a big stick like WGN and enjoy it, appreciate it, respect it. And don't do anything that would put your career or opportunity to be on the radio in jeopardy by doing something stupid.
Right.
And, you know, I'm at a point now where I just got invited back to host the Black Friday show on Bob's show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know how I got that? I called Mary up one day. Hey,
yeah,
I'd love to have the opportunity to host a Black Friday show. She's like, sure. Okay, let's try it. Did it. It worked out. And I've been invited back for another 4 or 5 years. So, yeah. So it's fun. I get to be on, you know, main lane show, you know, a weekday show, which is kind of cool. And it's been a fun ride. I appreciate every second I get here at WGN. I respect it. And I just try to continue on with the legacy of this great station.
I appreciate you doing this. And I think our listeners who are people who are trying to figure out what they want to do or a change in their careers, I think they're going to appreciate this because this covers so much than just those couple things we talked about. So,
and let me just throw one thing out.
Yeah.
All of the stuff, what the listeners don't understand is the work that you do here on the digital side. All of those brackets with hot dogs and beefs and pizzas, that's all you. Okay. Thanks, and our listeners don't realize that. And all of the digital stuff and the cleanliness of the website and the positioning of everything, there's a lot that goes on to make the success of this station roll. You got the management, you got the on-air talent, and you got the sales, you got the production, you got a lot of people pulling switches and pushing buttons and pedaling, you know, to keep the generator going here, like the professor on Gilligan's Island. But the website and what you and the gals do back there to what's her name,
Julia and Christina
and McGuire,
yeah.
You know what you guys do on the back end helps us on the air because it supports us and gives us a clean platform to post all of the content that we post. And it's easy to find, easy to read, easy to locate, and easy to disseminate and pass on to others, which is what digital marketing is all about.
I really appreciate that. And Dave Marzullo, who's our web
another
producer,
great guy. Yeah.
Is, yeah, he's a big reason you're able to find a lot of that stuff and read it, and listen to it in an easy way too. But that means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Great job.
That's a thing I would love to do is to talk even more to a lot of the people behind the scenes here so that people can just see what goes into making a radio station run or any media entity run.
I'll tell you what, you need to bring the queen on, Queen Bee, Marlene on.
Yes.
And give her 3 hours because she's got dirt on everybody.
Oh, okay? Yeah. That's its own podcast series.
That's like 4 or 5 hours at a time. Because she's been here, 50-some years?
57 or 58 years, and she knows where the bodies are buried.
Everybody's body.
Yep.
Yes. So, and she's great, right? You know, you see her, you give her a hug. And that's another reason, right? Marlene, 50 years. How many radio stations have employees who actually bleed WGM blood working for them? And she is the mama bear here.
And the heartbeat.
The heartbeat. 100%.
Yep, for sure. David, thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you for people listening and Career Vision for sponsoring. They're the reason we get to do this. Check them out at careervision.org. And until next time, I'm Michael Piff. Thanks for listening.